Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, let's continue to offer 50% off using our promo code 2022HALFOFF, 2022HALFOFF, and you go to VRTrader.com. And you pick your newsletter, and in the promo code section, you enter 2022 half off to get 50% off. And I also want to disclose that I've been doing this for like 44 years, but I'm a newsletter writer, not a money manager, and I don't manage funds. So I want to make sure that people know that I'm not a financial advisor.
Yes, consult your expert before you pull the trigger.
I would definitely do that.
Mark, I know you like to cover geocosmic events and so on. What happens around the full moon in March and also the vernal equinox being close to that time?
Well, this is the thing. The old Ides of March, you know, didn't do well for Julius Caesar. And we've seen market lows sometimes in the March period. And it's not only the vernal equinox, but you've got the solstice, you know, the winter and the spring and so forth. We track all these, but the one that we're most focused on right now is the vernal. And, you know, this is the time of year you got to be careful. I mean, it could invert and they could try to rally it up into the vernal equinox, but I don't know. These things, you know, tend to work out. I just did an interview on another event, a webinar, and I talked about the Groundhog Day on February 2nd. And every year I talk about Groundhog Day because the market tends to change direction around the Groundhog Day. And why should that? Obviously, the groundhog has nothing to do with it, but there must be planetary cycles or other things causing it. So what happened on February 2nd? Well, the market topped out on February 2nd, the day the groundhog stuck his head out of the ground and said there's going to be six more weeks of winter. Well, the market's been down basically several weeks, including into new lows today before it turned up a little bit since February 2nd. So, you know, these so-called arcane indicators are not so arcane when you can make money off them or you can respect that there are other forces out there. So whether it's a groundhog or the full moon coming up on March 7th, which could be a change of direction up or down, and the vernal equinox and, you know, a lot of fun stuff out there. We've had geocosmic issues. You know, people laugh, you know, they don't laugh so much, you know, when Turkey gets destroyed by a major earthquake. And we track earthquake activity on the planet. We warn about volcanic activity. We talk about solar flares. In fact, there's a solar flare right now that I read on spaceweather.com how it's affecting shortwave radio pretty much different places on the planet right now because of the of that solar flare and activity going on. So, you know, these are not headlines on the major news networks, you know, particularly on the financial networks, you know, that, you know, market turned down on Groundhog Day or the solar flare is affecting radios on the planet and could disrupt the communications and this volcano. You know, we have 47 active volcanoes on the planet right now. I mean, people say, oh, what's that mean? Well, you know what that means. That could be a lot of destruction. Mauna Loa in Hawaii, which is the biggest. I mean, one of these things really blows off and you get a super volcano type of effect. And then you have nuclear winter on the planet. I mean, that'll affect everybody. So, you know, blocks the sun from all the debris and so forth. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't trade day to day on this stuff, but you got to be aware that these are risks out there and you got to live your life and maybe some of these short-term cycles are telling you, you know, change of direction points. I think everything is synchronous, you know, when a polar shift occurs or when a super volcano goes off or when some bigger asteroid finally hits us, there'll be warnings. You'll see it in all these patterns, and hopefully we don't have to experience that. But right now, the market is, you know, everybody's talking about the Federal Reserve, Jim, you know, what the Fed's going to do and not do. And I laugh because that has so little to what the market is going to be affected by. I mean, nuclear activity was a result of Russia, Ukraine, you know, the Chinese thing, the balloon that went over, you know, Iran, Israel, North Korea is starting to shoot off some missiles and get arrogant, sending them into the Japanese waters. So much stuff going on, and you know, it's like the Fed. I mean, the Fed, in my opinion, as I've said many times, needs to be abolished, and there's some people beginning to agree with that. And it's not the Fed, you know, it's what Congress is doing, spending too much money. You've got these geopolitical issues all over the planet. You've got Turkey blowing up from earthquake activity. I mean, you know, if that happened in New York City and they leveled New York City, do you think that would affect the markets? Of course. So, you know, I'm just saying all these are possible. In fact, one of the funny stories, just as a sideline, and when one of the times I was in New York, this was many years ago, I think it was around 1983, 84, I'm trying to remember the exact date. I was staying in a friend's apartment. The next thing I knew, it was on the floor after an earthquake hit in southern Manhattan and just knocked me out of the bed. And that was one of the last places I ever imagined to have encountered an earthquake, but in Manhattan. So it did happen to me where actually it was a small tremor. It was enough to shake up southern Manhattan, and I was there the day it happened and got thrown out of a bed. So, you know, I'm very respectful of the geocosmic and things that you think are so solid and, you know, irreversible, which is just the opposite. So that's a quick summary of my opening statement.
Sure. Well, I live on the West Coast, and anywhere you have mountains, those mountains were caused by the Teutonic plates either separating or jamming together.
Correct. Right. So you got to be, you know, I mean, obviously, sometimes you can predict some of these things are coming, and that's why we track them, and there are all these scientists that talk about it. But they miss stuff, too. There was just an asteroid, a small one. We talked about things, I think, last week or the week before, you know, over South America. It wasn't a major one. I guess they called it an asteroid, but it probably just a big meteorite.
Just a big rock, yeah.
Right, but the bottom line is it wasn't known in advance. It was some amateur astronomer found it, and they finally discovered it at the last second. But I'm just saying, we think we have all these sophisticated tracking devices, and the big rock heads our way. What are we going to do about it? You know, maybe we're going to miss it. We may not be as smart as we think we are, in which case there's a lot of people are going to suffer unnecessarily from not being warned or on our ability or inability to track and prepare for it. So right now, wild times. I mean, are we going to be blown up by nuclear devices because Russia is determined to win this campaign? Or are we going to get a solar flare that's going to knock out all our electronics on the planet? Or are we going to get hit by earthquakes and volcanic activity everywhere? I mean, a lot of ways you can die, right?
Something's going to get you.
Something's going to get you, right. So, you know, anyway, people say, what are you talking about all this stuff for? Well, we do track the markets. We were actually last couple of days, we were short the market. How were we short? When we talk about how to make money in a bear market, we were long inverse ETFs. And, you know, we didn't get rich on them. We made a couple percentage points on paper with the newsletter because it looked like we were going down following the Groundhog Day, and we would possibly be weak into the March period. So, you know, we do try to profit by throwing the cycles together. I mean, obviously, if I feel the vernal equinox and the Ides of March could be a low in the market, I would be tending to be on the short side, you know, in the last few weeks, anticipating lower prices, which have started to unfold here. So let's see what happens. You know, we're flexible. The numbers change. Will change. One of the things I pride myself about, Jim, is, you know, I consider myself a survivor. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. And I remember when I was a floor trader decades ago, how a couple of traders literally blew out. Next thing I knew, they were driving taxis, trying to pay back the debt from their losses on the trading floor. And, you know, it can happen. So, you know, you just, I'm still here. You know, I'm still standing, you know, and I'm still in the markets. And I'm not driving the taxi cab yet.
Yeah, it's almost like being in the broadcasting business. I look at all the young people who started at 18, 19, the same age as me, and how many of us managed to make it to retirement in an industry that likes to eat its young.
Right. And then not too many years ago, we watched CNBC. If you were bald and had an earring, they had you on the air right away.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what do you see happening with the U.S. dollar?
Still positive. It's coming off a bottom, which is not good for gold. Though there are times where they could go in the same or different directions. There are exceptions to every rule, but the trend is up in the dollar. And I would think if you're going to see more military action in the next several months or year, money's going to flow into the U.S. As a bastion of safety, despite the fact that China and Russia and others are trying to create an alternate currency to the U.S. dollar. I still think people are going to see that as a bastion of safety. So it's had a big correction. It's sort of bottoming out here. It's been rallying a little bit every day, not a lot. And it really hasn't moved hardly at all. I mean, if it really starts to move, that's not going to be good for the commodities, which are priced in dollars. So saying that, I still think there could be food shortages and things like soybeans and wheat and corn and so forth. Still, there's still to be demand for, regardless of the pricing in the U.S. dollar. And also crude oil. You know, maybe crude oil will go under some further pressure because it's priced in dollars, though, as I mentioned, other countries are trying to price things in other currencies, not the U.S. dollar. But that could be a big factor in terms of where the U.S. dollar ends up. But the moment the chart says dollar up, so I'm long the dollar with the ETF. You can do it's called UUP as an umbrella call, and you're long the U.S. dollar just on an ETF.
What's going on with Bitcoin?
I like it. We're long it. I'm, multi-year, I'm bullish. Even the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is, trying to shut down the cryptos or threaten them with regulation, already, stated that Bitcoin is a commodity and it's not under their regulation. So that gives a little bit more freedom to move, I think. I think it's going up, and it may take 2-3 years to go back to where it was. And, nothing goes straight up or down. It's volatile. But look, when Bitcoin got to about, 15,000 not too many weeks ago, and everybody thought it was going to go to zero. Next thing you know, it's 25,000, right? So it's a volatile commodity. It is a commodity, according to the SEC. So the way you can play this is the ticker symbol GBTC. GBTC, it's in the U.S. market. It's an ETF that it's not precise, but it does track the movement of Bitcoin. So that could be, sort of a long-term hold. If you want to play or you believe I'm right, then it can go up versus spending $25,000 a coin.
Are you hot on copper right now with the charge towards EVs? These things use a monstrous amount of copper, 277% more than a regular car.
I'm bullish on all the metals long term. The question is short term, is strength in the dollar going to depress metals the way it's depressing gold and silver right now and crude oil to a limited extent? So we need these materials to create these electric vehicles, but this electric vehicle program is a multi-decade situation. It's not going to happen in the year 2035, as everybody believes. I don't believe so. It's going to take a lot longer. And as we discussed, it's a question of, do we have enough charging stations? Do the people have enough money to buy an EV? Is there enough energy to supply those charging stations? So for me personally, I wouldn't own one unless it was hybrid, that I had a gas alternative, unless I come up with a solar or fusion engine or something else to back you up. I mean, if, you only have a certain amount of mileage you can drive and, You know, I've been to some charging stations that are full. You can't even get in, or the waiting time is so long. You've got to plug your car in and sit there for 2-3 hours. I mean, it's sort of ridiculous. So having the gas as a backup. So I guess if we can't get gasoline and you can't get to a charging station, we're going to be all taking riding horses or bicycles again.
Or you have to tow a diesel generator behind your car. Of course, it's called a hybrid car, right? To have a gas engine and an electric.
Yeah, right. So you can buy those right now. I know there's a few out that are hybrid that have the, but the ones that I've seen have limited mileage on them. In other words, they only go 25 to 40 miles, and then you have the gas engine kick in. So there might be some others that I don't know about. But, you got to give yourself some alternative with transportation. We need what Back to the Future had. You know, we need that fusion engine, right? You can throw a banana in there and take off.
Well, there's the Wienermobile. Why not the Bananamobile?
Right.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Have a great weekend. Thanks so much for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you want to get a hold of Mark and ask him a question, you can send that question to us at info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.